You know, this morning I keep feeling, I keep sensing that there's some struggling internal going on in receiving from the Lord today. Now, I had the privilege of doing healing class the last couple of weeks, which I haven't done for a while. And what it was about was how we harden our hearts. We harden our hearts to receiving from the Lord. We do it. God doesn't do it. We do it. We allow the world and the lies and the deception and offenses and judgments and circumstances and feelings and all these things come into our lives and come into our minds and come into our hearts. And because they're maybe hurtful, well, maybe they're against something that's going on in our life that we know to be true, whatever it might be, we have a tendency to harden up. Hardened hearts are nothing but a survival technique to stand against an onslaught of negative, ungodly, lying things that come to us. We're never supposed to focus on that. We're never supposed to allow our hearts to get hardened. We are not supposed to do that. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through Jesus Christ. Everything. When we focus on the things going on in this world, or how we're feeling about maybe our healings or our prosperity or the areas that under God's grace we feel like he's given to us and that we know to be true, and we're not receiving or we're not seeing change, we have probably begun hardening our hearts and preventing ourselves from receiving from him. We are probably hardening our hearts and preventing the breakthroughs that we know are ours. Now, is there anybody today who's feeling like they need a breakthrough? I'm sensing this as a real thing today. This is what I keep feeling like the Holy Spirit is telling me. I want to deal with it right now. Anybody having a hard time breaking through? Please keep your hands up. Please. And I'm talking about breaking through into what the Lord has for you. What he's already given you. Anybody else? There's more. I know there is. Because you ain't riding the crest of the wave yet. Are you? I used to live in California, so I know what this is like. Okay. You can put your hands down. Jesus has already provided your breakthrough. Amen. No matter what it is, in the area of healing and wholeness, in the area of prosperity, whether it be a job or whether it be something else coming against you, already provided your freedom, your deliverance. Already provided for you everything that you've got to have for God's kind of life. That whole restoration in every area for you. That breakthrough in relationships. That breakthrough. There's some secret things. You want to see some breakthroughs. I'm not going to bring them up. But that breakthrough, that is already provided right now. God has already given it to you through Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection for you and me. There is no breakthrough that is withheld from you at all. Close your eyes with me. Let's pray. If you agree with me in this, you can say it with me. If you don't, you don't have to. Father, in Jesus' name. Right now today, I am softening my heart to receive from you what you have promised in my breakthrough, my personal breakthrough. You said I've got it. I'm taking you at your word for my healing, my prosperity, my deliverance, my preservation, my righteousness, my wholeness, my mental and emotional health, my joy, my peace, my authority, and your power through me. I reject the lies that have been told to me, and I accept right now. I receive the truth of your word in my heart, and I have my breakthrough right now.
Right now,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's get started in the Word, shall we? Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read to you a couple of words that I received from two different people in our church. We get words fairly regularly, and they get tested, they get judged. There's not always a time and a place for a specific word within the church here, but these two are. And these go in line with what I've been teaching since we've come back together. And I'm going to read these two. One came in a couple of months ago, one came in a couple of weeks ago. But I want you to see the thread between them. This is from Joe. There is a revival and reformation coming to America. The harvest will be plentiful in the days to come. The church's role will be as it was at the founding of American colonies, when the Black Robe Regiment of old changed in America and founded the United States. It is time again for the churches of all denominations in Christ Jesus to reopen and take charge over the demonic tyranny that is gripping our nation, to bring about the revival and reformation of the United States of America, with emphasis being on the reformation of the American culture from the pulpits through God's word. But the church, which is the body of Christ, must take a stand now. People are ready to turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as never before in the United States. This is from Kitty. Last Sunday and this Sunday, as I sat in church, I kept hearing the word revolution. What's coming to the church is more than a revival. A revival is about bringing back something, but a revolution changes things. I believe that's what's coming, starting with our church and others like our church. Churches that don't adhere to denominational rules and regulations, but to the whole counsel of the word. When we first got in the building, there were some prophecies about rivers of living water running out from this church. I believe this. Rivers of living water is the revolution starting in this church to bring change in this community, city, state, and eventually the world. It is the revolution of Jesus.
Amen.
Now those words, I believe, were spot on They tie into where we are and where we're going. The vision of this church from the beginning, 10 years ago, and where we're going now, as we've turned this ship from how we started into what God wants to accomplish through us. I've told you that I believe our little church is an integral part of what God wants to do, not only in this area, but beyond this area. It is a reality for us to live in the supernatural, to expect the supernatural, to see it in our lives, to see God work mightily and wonderfully, without limit. God wants to do so much more through those who are willing. So here's my question, and this has been the title of the series: where are we right now as disciples of Jesus Christ? Where are we? We've got all this junk going on. It's like, man, stop the world. I want to get off. I'm tired of this stuff. Hearing it, seeing it, hearing other people talk about it. I spoke with a friend of mine and from a big ministry out west this week. And he and I, and he's in leadership in this ministry, and he and I began to talk about, he asked, always we talk about what's going on in the church, what's going on in the ministry, and as we talked, we spoke, we kind of ramped up. We began to get upset. And we built more and more because what was happening, so we got to stop right now. Because we were focusing and beginning to focus on all the evil that is going on, the things that we cannot change, cannot control, we cannot fix, we cannot do it. But we see the evil, we see the wrong, we see what's going on. We can't do anything about it except vote, which seems so inconsequential anymore, but it's still important. Or we can get involved in the governmental process. We can get involved in politics. Maybe make a change there. Or we can go out and campaign. Or we can go out and get on Facebook and we can start slamming everybody and everything. Right? No. Or we can be true, committed disciples of Jesus Christ, reconciling humanity, human beings, all lives, to the Lord through what Jesus Christ did with the gospel. Because that's what changes everything. It is the gospel. It's not what we do. It's not attacking the symptoms. It's not getting frustrated and upset. It's not doing any of that. It's not focusing on the lies from the news. You know, most everything you hear in the news is going to be a lie or biased. If it's biased, it's a lie, right? The only thing that we need to focus on, and I mean majorly, it's not a problem to stay aware at least of what's happening. Don't dive into this stuff. It's like diving into the trash pile. We stay tuned in to the truth of the word. That's what makes it so frustrating for Christians. This is what we're dealing with inside, internally, in all these frustrations and the anger and the upset because of the injustices and the evil, because we have the truth of the word and we recognize the truth of the word and righteousness and godliness and the goodness of God and the love of God, and we see the evil being perpetrated. And we can discern between the good and evil. That's what makes it so difficult when we see it. But here's where we have to stay. We have to stay focused on things above, on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and who we are in Jesus Christ in this new identity and what our purpose is as disciples of Jesus Christ. Because we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, first and foremost, before we are citizens of the United States. Period. And if we do not remember this, then we're not staying focused on where we need to be. It's not being reinforced in us. We're not reinforcing the truth in us. We're not getting the truth into our hearts. We're just mentally assenting to, yeah, I know where I need to be. Yep, yep, yep. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Nope, nope, nope. I don't agree with this stuff. And yet still getting frustrated in our hearts. You've got to remember who you are. All of us do. And what our purpose is. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. First. You all know I love my country. We all do. Our country, you haven't seen the worst of this yet. You can consider this prophetic. Because a while back, the Lord showed me how this is going to work. The attacks are going to keep coming against the presidency, against the economy. The attacks are going to keep coming. Things are going to level out and things are going to get good for a little while and there will be a lull. We had a little bit. There's going to be more of both. And then things are going to get really bad again. And our freedoms are going to be taken away more. This is what's coming. I want you to hear this because I want our church prepared. I don't mean just mentally prepared. I mean in your hearts prepared. And prepared with what to do and where to go and how to handle this. How to walk this through. Because we are called to walk it through, disciples. Right? And this ain't no harder than what Paul walked through or what Jesus walked through when Rome was governing Jerusalem or the known world. It was oppressive. It was filthy, perverted, disgusting, unjust in many ways. Freedoms and rights were pulled from people arbitrarily. Persecution happened. Do you know the ACLU is paid, is being funded to remove your Christian liberty? Step by step by step. This is real and this is happening. And if we don't get our minds wrapped around this, that this is where we live now, it is so important that we understand we are disciples of Jesus Christ first, or we're not. It's either one or the other. Okay. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. I'll start here. Peter writes to the church, to the disciples of Jesus Christ. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power." I love that. His divine power. This didn't come from earth. "Has given to us all things that pertain to life, that Zoe life, that God's kind of life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given already," past tense, "to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption," or in the Greek, "rottenness of the world through its lust." Now, that's just like a big aha moment, isn't it? Take a deep breath with me, will you? That's the truth. And that's where we are. And that's what we have. And that's a given. Can we live there? Yeah. But we have to purpose to. Now, I want you to understand that Peter is speaking to disciples of Jesus Christ. And here's the hard part in this whole thing. Because what this time that we live in right now, and the chaos and the evil, the lies and the disruption, this hasn't changed God's grace to us. Not one bit. Do you understand? Okay? Everything's the same. But we have to decide, and this is our decision, are we a conditional disciple of Jesus Christ, or are we a true disciple of Jesus Christ? You cannot live as a conditional disciple of Jesus Christ going forward. We can't do that. Let me read to you what Jesus said. I covered this a couple weeks ago, but I want to cover it again. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, Jesus said, "Great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot, it is not possible in the Greek, to be my disciple.'" I mean, he's drawn a line. When he says, if you don't hate your father, mother, brother, sister, he's saying, if you love them more than me, your family, and again, family was everything. I mean, everything. Yeah. Families are fractured now. Family was everything. If you don't love me more than them, you cannot be my disciple. Disciple is a student. But it's a student for the rest of our lives. It's somebody that's continually growing, learning, understanding him. And it's an active, it's not just setting and getting fed. It's active. It's hearing the word and being active as a student. Really the application of the word. Verse 27, Jesus said, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot, it is not possible to be my disciple." It means what he's saying here is we give up our lives. We give up our lives sometimes. And other times we take hold and we take over. It's based on what we want or what we think we should do or our best reasoning based on really us rather than him and the kingdom. And this is some of the difference between somebody that's a conditional disciple and says, "I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to follow you my way. I'm going to go as far as I want to go with you, but I'm not going very much farther," okay? And the other type of disciple, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, says, "My whole life is yours. Whatever you say, whatever you tell me, as the living word, the written word, you give me, you bought and paid for this. I'm here for you." And there's no question, there's no conditions set here. That's the reality. That's why Jesus said, it's impossible to be my disciple if it's conditional. That's the reality. A true disciple of Jesus Christ is living for eternity, not the moment. A conditional disciple is living for the moment. A true disciple has their eyes on eternity because that's the real life. This is so temporary. I mean, all of us, and I don't want to be a downer here, but all of us are just a breath away from eternity. I don't care how young or old you are. Any of us. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity, and I said this last week, and I understand there were some questions, which I'm glad because I want you to ask questions. If you could hear it this way, my job is to provoke questions. So when I said, I believe that we can push back the return of Jesus Christ, which is imminent. I've got 3 weeks of teaching on this. So let me just tell you, in answer to this question, you can ask me. Come and ask me. But how this works is, Jesus is returning for his disciples. Now, can we push back the return of Jesus like we can control God? No. The Father has this time set. But what we do is literally push back the evil. As living disciples, doing the work of Jesus Christ on this earth, reaching into the gates of hell and reaching people for the kingdom of God. And again, I don't have time to go into this, but this is what we're called to do. This is a reality. The American church is a comfortable church for the most part. Living in a stupor, asleep, and that's a reality. And we've been conditioned to live like this most of our Christian lives. This isn't the gospel. Amen. The gospel is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, reaching people for the kingdom, no matter what hell has broken loose in the state of Michigan or in this country, because that is where we live, in the kingdom first. Okay. So where are we? And this is what I want to get to today. I spoke last week about deception. And this is the external deception that's going on around us. And what we see in people around us being deceived. I have people in my family that are so deceived. We can't even talk. Because it's political. And we've not said a thing. But the hatred is there. They're deceived. They don't have the truth. They don't know it. They don't know him. They don't know his love. And right now they don't want to. And that's just an indicator of all over the place. So, we've got external deception going on around us. Now, what do we do as disciples of Jesus Christ if the power of self-deception is working in us? That's what this is about today. We have to face the fact that there may be in some areas of our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, self-deception going on and keeping us from what God has for us. And I don't mean going out only and reaching the lost. I'm talking about everything, all these promises of God that are for us. The power of self-deception in our lives is a real thing. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we can't stay there. We can't afford to. Okay? What is the power of self-deception as a disciple of Jesus Christ? It's really giving power and authority to a lie through reason or reasoning to self-justify our behavior that is contrary to the Word of God. It's a false comfort that leads to great regret. It would be really, 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 really easy to throw rocks, figuratively and maybe literally, at some of the evil coming through people that are reported in the news. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be easy?
Yeah.
Is that what Jesus gave his disciples to do? I have somebody I've been working with, just loving on, who's been anti-God for a long, long, long time. And I'm just loving him and reaching out and honoring and blessing little ways that I can, and loving and considering and spending time with. And it isn't always easy. The walls are breaking down. Throwing rocks doesn't accomplish anything, does it? Just kills them. Pushes them away, kills them. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, God never called me to be a rock thrower. Any of us. So are we self-deceived in who we are and where we are as disciples of Jesus Christ and how we're living out this time? Through our own reasoning, are we justifying our behavior? Again, and I'm just, I don't know what's going on Facebook. I know that in the past I've seen Christians, none of you, if I was not born again, I would be offended. I would be justified in believing that Christians are evil based on what I saw in Facebook. And these are people that I know who are supposed to be mature believers, who are, they love God, who are, they consider themselves disciples of Jesus Christ. Are they deceived in some areas? Yeah. Do we all go through this? Yep. Look at yours truly. All of us do in some area. The power of self-deception will keep us trapped and bound into a place that will bring nothing but regret to us. And it is not something that we can allow in our lives. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. What's he saying? This is Paul to the Corinthian church. I really look at Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, as the American church. Are you really in the faith? Are you really in the faith of Jesus Christ, or are is it partial, or is it your own type of, your own making up of what you believe? Then he finishes his scripture and he says, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? We're not cognizant of the fact that he is in us and we are in him 24/7. Forever. That our identity is in him, and we live through Jesus. And when people see us as disciples of Jesus Christ, they see him through our words, through our actions, through how we are on the freeway, everything. In the midst of all this chaos. And then he finishes this up. He says, unless indeed you are disqualified. Now how can that be? How can somebody get disqualified? We disqualify ourselves. God won't do it. We can do it. Can you lose your salvation? Nope. Only unless you reject him. Knowing what you're doing, let me make this clear. You must know what you're doing. You must know the extent of it. You must have the full realization. You must have the whole deal. And willfully reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is the only way you can lose your salvation. Okay? But can you disqualify yourself from being effective in the faith? Absolutely. From being a true disciple? Sure. You make it really hard on you. I won't go into all this because there's so much. What I want to drive home is we deceive ourselves so many times based on our own reasoning about the Word of God. What we will do, what we won't do, what He says we are, what we say we are, what we can do, what we cannot do, because we don't realistically want to believe or do the Word. And because of that reasoning, that rationalization, we begin to build deception, self-deception in ourselves. And let me give you my example. For years, as a believer, I disqualified myself from everything because of my past, which you know was pretty putrid, pretty disgusting. And I disqualified myself from anything to do with the Lord. And I comforted myself because, well, I had a bad past and God can't use me for anything. God won't. He can't take you and do anything with you. He can't use you to touch anybody's life. And I built, through my own reasoning, not the Word, a deception that for years kept me ineffective, saddled with guilt, condemnation, kept me from being the man of God that God called me to be, kept me from reaching people for the kingdom. I did that. Kept me living way less than what he had called me to do or given me. That was my own deception. Okay? We all have them. 1 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes, and he's speaking about being deceived by the world and ourselves. Let no one deceive himself. No one. Please understand that we create these deceptions. We all do. And we all do them to comfort ourselves and to self-justify whatever the behavior is that we want to do. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, or in the Greek, stupid, that he may become wise. Self-deception. This is a danger thing for us, and particularly in this time. If God has called us, which he has, to be true disciples of Jesus Christ and lay our lives down, because it is not our life, and we justify something else, I'm not gonna, I can't, I won't, because then we are deceiving ourselves as to who we are, what we have, what we can do, his power in us, his power through us, and the reality of his kingdom. We're saying your word really isn't true. These are all part of self-deception in all kinds of areas of our lives. One of the greatest lies that we deceive ourselves with, and let me talk about the grace message, which you all know where we came from, and you all know what the basis of this church is. We are a grace-teaching church. Here's a self-deception. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, which I consider myself, which I believe that most of you do too, true disciple of Jesus Christ, under grace, God has done everything. All my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Everything is a finished work. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Right?
Right.
I've got it all. I really have the good life. Then whatever I do from this point on, after receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and being under grace, it doesn't matter how I live. That happens to a lot of people. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I'm not under the law anymore. I'm under grace. That is self-deception. It does matter. And it matters greatly. There are self-inflicted consequences to self-deception. And I mean, we bring them on. God doesn't bring them. We do. Self-deception, on the whole, makes us complacent, lukewarm, and lazy regarding the kingdom of God. So here's the question. And this is what we all face. Am I really willing to live as a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Am I? Am I really willing to do this? The only one that can answer is you and I. James 1, verses 21 and 22. James 1, 21 and 22 says, therefore, now James is speaking to the church. He's speaking to disciples, real disciples of Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. I want you to understand who he was speaking to, the church mixing with the world, and the church disciples deceiving themselves in how they were living. He says, you can't go that way anymore. Now, I'm not talking about just wallowing in the filth of the world, but everything going on in our lives that is contrary to the truth. Contrary to the word. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness and humility the implanted or the engrafted word into your heart, where the word of God becomes a part of you, not just something you say, but a part of you, a part of who you are as a disciple, which is able to save and heal and deliver and prosper. Your souls. And here's the crux of it. But be doers of the word. And not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. We can hear the word. We can acknowledge the truth. This is not an easy message to give. I'm going to tell you that right now. If we are deceived, which most of us are in some area or another, we've justified our behavior, or we've justified our thinking, we've justified our comfort zone about how we feel and who's okay to throw rocks at and who isn't. We've justified how we live in a particular arena. We've justified, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we've justified that this is okay. But according to the word, that's not true. So, if we don't pull away from those things, we're deceiving ourselves. In deceiving ourselves, we open the door for consequences that are self-inflicted. You see, self-deception only hurts us. It hurts those connected with us too. But in the main arena, self-deception and the power of it, the authority of it we give into our lives hurts us. That's what the Lord doesn't want. I've had to cut a lot of this message short today because all of what's going on around us, all the politicization, is that a word? All the politicizing of everything. All the anger and the accusations and the turmoil and the lies and the deceit, the removal of our rights and the freedoms, the hurts, the pains, the barbs, the tremendous evil that we've not seen in our country, and it's going to get worse. We cannot be a part of that and justify it in our lives. We cannot be drawn in. We can't comfort ourselves that it's okay in some areas to be a part of the evil. We are deceiving ourselves if we don't change. You know when Jesus said to love your enemies and do good to those that persecute you? Why is that so hard? Why is it so hard? We want to hate them. We want to give them the justice that they deserve because they're evil. Tell me you okay babies being aborted right up to birth and then cheer about it? They're the ones that need to be aborted. Didn't hear any amens there, but I could read your faces. How do we love them that are hurting so many, including us, and intentionally? How do we love them? If we think we don't have to, we're self-deceived. If we think we're above, we're self-deceived. And I will finish this up next week. God didn't call us to that. He called us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus could have changed Rome with a snap of his fingers. Could have removed the oppression, called the legions of angels, routed Rome out of there and squashed the emperor, changed the whole atmosphere immediately. Dealt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and straightened out the law and brought in grace in a bigger, better way. And yet he did it by making disciples. And he changed the world. And it is the pattern that we are supposed to operate in among every circumstance that we face from this time on. We've got to see things through his heart, his eyes, his word, and who we are from now on. It's a must. If we're going to make it through and we're going to rise above all this garbage that's going on, we have got to see differently. We've got to see the truth of where we are right now and who he is and what we're here for based on his word, not our feelings. Amen? Amen. The word of God reveals our own self-deceptions. This is how you break this if you are deceived. You're dealing with it. With an area that's comfortable in being deceived. As it's revealed in your authority as a believer, verbally reject and break it off and break off the effects of it. Stay teachable. Do this in his ability, his strength, his power, his favor, not yours. You've got to understand and get into you who you really are in him and be able to live it and share it. This is all part of the teaching and getting you grounded in the grace of God. I encourage you, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and expect to flow in the power of God. And then, wherever you're at, in your degree of maturity, wherever it is, do something with what you have. Do something. Touch somebody. Reach somebody. Speak something. Do something. Get somebody healed. Do something with what you have. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. Thank you. Now we've got people on our prayer team who are available to get you healed, for you to see breakthroughs. To see the supernatural. They flow well in the Holy Spirit. And they understand the grace of God and faith. And they're going to reach right into your heart. And you're going to see change. You need that? Anybody need that today? In any area? Get up here, please. Come on up. Don't be bashful. Come on. We're not a bashful church, right? Don't you know that the Lord always wants to heal and do and give and demonstrate to his sons and daughters? Always. Always. Sometimes it takes somebody putting their faith with you to get over the hump. It's okay. Is there anybody else that needs prayer? Well, you're welcome to come up after we close. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare today that we hear you, Holy Spirit. Poke around in our hearts. And if there's any area that we have been laboring under or embracing self-deception in our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, please open it up and show us. And Lord, in those areas, we're going to repent, change our thinking, and break them, because we want to live fully as your disciples, Jesus, from now on, and accomplish what you've given us to do in who we are in you. We love you, Lord, and we are blessed beyond measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great, wonderful week. I love you all.